If you say, is this really the right way to go? Is this where you're leading me? He'll, you know, yes or no, and how about this? So when he tells me that, you know, preach through the book of Judges, I'm like, we're on 9 months, God. Do you still want me to keep going? Yeah, a year and a half, whatever it took. It didn't matter. It's what God wanted, you know? And we have that opportunity to go before him. So he laid upon my heart that it's a new year, and it's a verse that we've heard, and probably so many pastors throughout the years have preached on it or whatnot. But new things. We're looking at a new year. You know, I mean, 26 years into this new century. Kind of cool that allows us to be part of that. You know what I mean? This is a new century. Man. So what new things? You know, people, I was never big in making New Year's resolutions, and that's where I'm going. I was never one to go, okay, this year, you know, because before knowing Christ, I knew I'd never carry it out. The thing that I'm probably trying to give up is something that I don't want to give up, or an action, or exercise more, or lose weight, or whatever it may be. You know, so I'm a freak about actual Greek and Hebrew definitions, so New King James Bible definitions, things like that. So a resolution literally means a fixed purpose or determination of mind as a resolution to reform our lives. Huh. Get that. Can you do that without help? I think not. To resolve literally means to inform, to free from doubt or perplexity, as to resolve the conscience. To settle in an opinion, to make certain, to confirm, to fix in a constancy. So how many people make New Year's resolutions? Anyone? I mean, I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. It really isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not bad to say, I want to lose some weight. You know, I turned 60 this year. I'm putting on a little squishiness, you know, and it's just not healthy for me. I have a frame that's such and such, whatever it may be. It's not bad to say, I want to make sure I go to church every Sunday. That's a good thing. Sounds like a vow. What does Jesus say about vows? Simple yes or no, right? So resolutions, you know, it's a new year. You make a new resolution. It's not a bad thing. But if we look at who we are before we knew Christ, now that we know Christ, do you look the same today as you did back then when you said yes to Christ? So I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the verse I want to talk about is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's a lot going on in there. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, King James Version has it as is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, I like that a lot, just sounds more resolute. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, things are become new. In Christ. Were we in Christ before we said yes to Christ? We were not. It's an absolute positive decision that has to be made on our part. He gives us that opportunity. Now, he knows from all the way in the past, from thousands of years ago, what we're going to do, what we're going to say. And it's another beautiful thing that I just praise God for, that he called us from so long ago. He knows you personally. He reaches out and he says, Laura, you know, and sometime, someday, you're going to say yes to Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing. Being in Christ, breaking it down, this is Greek, and it's in Strong's G1722. In literally means by, with, a primary preposition denoting a fixed position. Okay. Liking that a lot. My fixed position is in Jesus. Okay, that's where I stand. So let's just start in Christ. I am in Christ. Christ is my all. Christ is my everything. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that I look at the cross and I can go before God and go, please forgive me for X, Y, and Z. Because of the blood of Christ, I can come before a sovereign creator because I have a fixed position in Christ. Amen. But there's more. You have a fixed, denoting a fixed position either in place, in time, or state. And by implication, instrumentality, thing that serves as an instrument or means to an end. Who is my instrument to a means to an end? Jesus is my instrument that allows me to stand before a sovereign creator God and lay it all out. Lay it all out. On my knees, begging for forgiveness is usually where I'm at, but I'm also there asking for direction, instruction, help, growth. Please, Lord, help me to have eyes to see. You know, your growth is my learning tool. Does that make sense? If I see growth in other people, a before and an after, or a moment where they've made a decision, that helps me. But only if I have the eyes and the heart to see. And if my position is fixed in the one who died for all who would call upon his name, if I'm steadfast standing in Christ's blood, hopefully my heart and my mind and my eyes are open now to learn. Not from just my own existence and reading in the Bible and that time of meditation, but there's so much going on around us, isn't there? So much. And when Laura learns, I learn. When Dale learns, I learn. He's here teaching us, right? There's so many opportunities. When I'm going to one of my other jobs and I tell you guys this story, why do their favorite question is to ask me when they want to come and talk to me, because someone will say, oh, that guy's a pastor. Well, a guy I just met and said, well, he's a pastor. 2 days later, he goes, so you're a pastor. I'm like, well, yeah. The thing that God has given me is I'm not shy. I like to talk. I have a willingness to speak about my faith because I have a past that is will make you cry. But God. And so my ability to my continence, I guess would be the word I'm looking for, is generally uplifting. And I look forward to a new day. I look forward to waking up to see what happens, you know. I'm a pretty happy guy, generally. It kind of rubs off on people. When I'm in a bad mood, Laura's going to get in a bad mood eventually if I bring it home. Or she just doesn't want to be around me. Does that make sense? And so it rubs off on other people, too. If you greet every person you see, that they notice that. And so they feel an ease to come up and talk to me. And they go, why do you say better than I deserve? Because people ask me, why do you say better? How are you today? I'm like, better than I deserve. You know, and that was a transition from, oh, I'm all right. You're, thumbs up. I'm good. Yeah. I am better than I deserve because I know what I deserve. I deserve a fiery furnace for eternity for my sinful heart and nature and all that I've done. And yet, but God said, I forgive you. I cannot stand in front of God and be the same guy that I said yes to him on that day. I need to grow. So as a resolution, I'm hoping that I have eyes to see, ears to hear, to recognize growth in others and myself, to learn from other people, because we can learn from anybody. I mean, you can learn from a kid if you just have that heart. So getting way off track here, but in Christ. So I have a fixed position in Jesus, and we need to remember that. I mean, it's as fixed as this nail that's holding this board down, the foundation that, you know, is holding this church up. The cross that he died on for us, that's me in Christ. We are fixed in Christ. Another meaning of in, it means a relation of rest. Ooh. Come on, that is good news right there. Who doesn't want to have a peaceful heart? I mean, do you know what kind of life it would be if you were just always in tense, and angry. But we have in Christ, a fixed position in Christ, and we have rest. And it's not just, you know, 8 hours in the sack. It's a peaceful heart, a peaceful mind, a peaceful conscience, a peaceful being, an assured hope of where I'm going to be through the cross of Jesus. And you can find rest in that. I mean, a rest that it's not nap time. I mean, it's a load off. Okay? Quick dragging that bag of bricks behind us, because we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're not the same as we first started. We're growing. That's what we hope this church is about, is to teach, preach, and help one another to grow constantly in Jesus. When we read those red letters, that we hear what he's saying. I mean, it's so beautiful how he puts everything. Vows, Matthew, you just said that a little bit ago. Vows. Jesus sums it up, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Think on that. That's how Jesus teaches us. But we got to have a heart to grab that and hold on to it and feel it and know it, what it means. So verses like Galatians 1:22 with the word in it, in Christ, fixed position. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for so it was written by a prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. So we're now speaking of a place and a location, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Galatians 1:22. And I was still unknown in person to the churches. This is Paul speaking. I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Okay, so that's the word in. In Christ, now this is MacArthur, and I'm quoting directly from him. In Christ, the two words comprise a brief but most profound statement of inexhaustible significance of the believer's redemption, which includes the following. All right, so we have been redeemed. Our price, our debt has been paid by Christ because we are in Christ. The believer's security in Christ, who bore in his body God's judgment against sin. Okay? Our acceptance in him, with whom God alone is well pleased. The believer's future assurance in him. Things that I've spoken about already this morning. Our assurance in him, who is the resurrection of eternal life and sole guarantor of the believer's inheritance in heaven. And finally, this one's kind of cool. They're all cool, but the believer's participation in the divine nature in Christ. The everlasting word. Did you ever think of yourself as having divine nature? You know, I mean, it confirms our calling. It confirms the fact that God has called us from long ago, the election of the saints. That's you guys. Like in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us in precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become, what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We are partakers of Christ's divine nature. Tuck that in your heart and think about it later. I mean, come on. Thank you, God. And we can't think of this lightly. We represent when we leave church, when we leave our home. If you say you're a Christian, you represent God and the work of the cross freely given. We are a new creation, as the verse says. We are a new creature. This is where we talk about regeneration. You know, our heart has been regenerate. Regeneration literally means in the Greek, a new birth, reproduction, a renewal, a recreation. Hence, a renovation, the production of a new life consecrated to God. I'll take that. I'll be brand new. I'll take that. I'm a new person. It is a radical change of mind for the better. You cannot say yes to Jesus and think the same way. And that is a radical change of mind for most of us who walked our whole life without him. The word is often used to denote the restoration of a thing. We have been restored, renewed, remade in Christ's image to have a divine nature. It's been a restoration to its pristine state before there was sin in our lives. It's a renovation as a renewal of a restoration of life after death. Died to ourselves, our old self, and brought to new life in Christ. This is exciting. This is a quote, the signal or and glorious change of all things in heaven and earth for the better, I believe it's Gill, that restoration of the primal and perfect condition of things which existed before the fall of our first parents, which the Jews looked for in connection with the advent of the Messiah and which Christians expected in connection with the visible return of Jesus from heaven. We partake in that divine nature because we have been regenerated. We have been reborn. We are renewed in a new heart. Jesus tells us when he was talking to Nicodemus, you know that conversation that he had, Nicodemus, this Pharisee that was a teacher, and Jesus told him plainly, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot be the old self and be born again, to be partakers of that divine nature. In Ephesians, it tells us, it's 1-8, it's a little bit long, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. By nature, that's who we are. Children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Two words. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he had loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift from God. So when you think about yourself as in Christ and you read these words, that should strike you right to your heart. Titus 3:5, he saved us, not because of works done of us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We have a piece of God living in us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we could just get out of our own way. If we could just step aside and let the Holy Spirit do the work in us. When you're convicted, hello, Holy Spirit. When you're saying things that you didn't know you knew, hello, Holy Spirit, praise God. Righteousness literally means it's a state of him who is and has as he ought to be. A state of who is and as we ought to be. Righteous, the condition that is acceptable to God. We have no righteousness on our own. No one is righteous, Paul said. No, not one. That's harsh. But God in Jesus. The doctrine concerning the way in which many may attain a state approved of God, the integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteous, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting in God, by God, through Jesus. 1 Peter 1:23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. That's our Jesus. That's who we are. Born again, regenerate, new people, different people, forgiven. The old things have passed away. After a person is regenerate, old values, systems, priorities, beliefs, loves, and plans are gone. The old way is gone. Evil and sin still exist, but a believer sees them in a new perspective, a new eyes. You have new eyes to see, a new heart, new ears to hear. Those old ways no longer control you. Again, I mean, our Bible teaches this over and over and over. The words of Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Okay? This is the verse before the one we're studying today. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. What? We no longer look at people and judge them by worldly standards. So therefore, we no longer look at Christ and expect him to be worldly standards. We don't judge him like that. We understand that his divine nature is pure and holy and righteous. Paul no longer evaluated according to the external human worldly standards. We regard him thus no longer. MacArthur goes on to say, Paul, as a Christian, no longer had merely fallible human assessment of Jesus Christ. Remember his walk on the road when he got saved? When Jesus appeared to him? Fallible literally means liable to fail or make a mistake or error. So let's go back. Paul, as a Christian, no longer had merely a fallible human assessment of Jesus. So he no longer looked at Christ in the same old eyes. His heart was changed. And he realized that he was the fallible person, not Christ. He realized that he can't save himself, even if he followed the law to the nth degree, which he was, the Benjaminite, and the whole list of accomplishments of Paul. It all meant nothing if we didn't have Christ. How about Acts 9, 1 through 6? This is Paul's story. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. I believe all of us would have a change of heart if you had an encounter like that, as Paul did. Okay? And ours is not that dramatic, per se, but it is. Your own personal moment of when you came to Christ, that's a revelation. I mean, I think I heard angels sing. I mean, the light got brighter. You had a weight lifted from you to know Jesus loves you. And he's called you, and you're forgiven. What he did there was for you. Whoo-wee. Yeah, I'm a regenerate person. All things are new. Revelation 21:5. And he who has seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. New meaning, again, Greek, as respects and say new in form. Okay, a likeness, an image, who being in the form of God, like Philippians 2:6, he took on him the form of a servant. Okay, so in form, whatever we look, do, or perceive, it's new. Recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn. That's what new means. Now, new as a substance, in respects to a substance, it's a new kind. All right, it's unprecedented, it's novel, uncommon, unheard of, such as Isaiah 4:29, Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare before they spring forth, I will tell you them. Former things being the first things, okay? The primary things, the earlier predictions. The new things are new and fresh, opposed to the old. So if you look at yourself in that regard, and substance, are you the same? Do you have a new substance, a new heart, a new way of thinking, a new ability to be patient and kind and loving? Are you new in that regard? Love and joy and peace, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Are we exhibiting the grace of God that we've been shown? New. MacArthur says the grammar indicates that this newness is a continuing condition of fact. I like that. My newness is a continuing condition of fact. I factually am forgiven. My hope is in Christ and what he did for me on the cross. My faith tells me I can come before sovereign God and say, man, I really had a bad day and I apologize to God and please forgive me. And the growth you can see is that if you know you did something wrong to somebody, you went there and you go, I misspoke. I'm sorry. You know, we own it. As Christians, we own it. You can't go and do something blatantly wrong and hurt somebody's feelings and walk away and feel good about yourself. That's the old guy. You have a new person, new, regenerate. And our spiritual renewal is fueled by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. The moment you said yes, that you needed what Christ did for you on that cross. I have sins that I drag forever, but not anymore. Those old things that happened that I've done, that old person, I don't even recognize them. I don't even know how I made it to being saying yes. I should have died long ago, but God had something else in mind. Renewed, Greek, to cause to grow up. Oh, new, to make new. New strength and vigor is given to one to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. There's these beautiful verses, and this is how we will wrap it up. We, you know, nothing wrong with making New Year's resolutions, but our resolutions should bring glory to God. So if we can grow in any which way, any way that we possibly can, if we can show more patience to somebody, if we can show more love, show more forgiveness, be willingness to give that extra tunic, be willingness to help out, lend a hand, support. Those are the resolutions that I hope to make, and that those that I could actually, by God's grace and the work of the Holy Spirit within us, learn to move forward in, and we can actually see the growth and progress in our walk and in our own faith. So Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's encouraging. Go to bed with that. Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Imagine starting your day like that. You can't help but have a smile and a thankfulness about you that is just a countenance of ease and people want to be around. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Those are those markers that we talk about that made some sense to you, that you store in your heart, that you come back and think about. Man, thank you for that, God. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Do you want to look like God? Do you want to have that heart? Do you want to do something that brings God glory and honor? That's a New Year's resolution. Dear Lord, help me by the things that I say and do bring you glory and honor. That's a renewed heart. That's a step forward. Galatians 6:15, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And who does that for you? We are new creations in Christ. He did the work so that we can come before God and be forgiven and to have a heart that has been regenerate, new heart in us. We learn to love like we've never loved before. We learn to give. You know, I mean, even our brother Joe, he's like, you know, God saved him. God put the strength in his heart to give up that addiction. And now he's giving back because he knows people out there need help. And God has given him a heart and a will to be able to do that. Brothers who teach and sing. I mean, we all have something that God has given us that we are edifying him in our faith. And that is a great resolution. I'm not saying I wouldn't mind losing a few pounds this year and maybe changing an exercise weight, you know, but nonetheless, I would prefer a resolution that helps you take one step closer to God, a walk in your faith that solidifies that new image that we have. And I pray that, you know, we're softer, we're easier to approach, and we yield to the Spirit because he's in you. You'll say things you don't even know. You're like, wait, what? What? You go back to the guy and go, what did I tell you? No, I'm just messing with you. But, you know, he brings things to forth that you didn't even know that you had in you. And it's probably because, you know, you've been to church and you've been reading your Bible and you've been a part of studies and Bible groups and participation in the community. I mean, you know, you're giving of the time and talent and treasure that he's given you back to those that need it. Let's pray. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you through the work of Christ. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor because you are due. You are the ones that made a way for us back. You are the one that has renewed our heart. You are the one that has called us from eternity past. Thank you for your patience with each and every one of us, Father. And thank you, Lord, for your willingness and obedience to the plan the Father has set down. You have reached into so many hearts, and you've come along so many people over the years. We look forward to your return, and we can hardly wait, but help us here and now as we live our lives to do the things that would bring you glory and honor, to say the things with love to others, to forgive as we've been forgiven, to walk in a way that highlights the work that was done for us on the cross and the need for that. Help us to convey that to people around us in a way that is acceptable and honoring, in a way that is palatable and easy to understand, but yet in all glory and honor yours. We thank you for this day and this time and this place that we are allowed to meet. And it's in your Son's holy and righteous name, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen.